what that last 7 minutes go. Let's pray and then let's sing.
Amen. Well, would you pray for us, please, brother, if you would?
Dear Father, thank you this day, Lord. Thank you for the weather, Lord. Change from yesterday, Lord. Lord, pray that people would get saved, Lord. In fact, people who tracked were sent them yesterday, Lord, and those that were sent them the week before, Lord. Save us right in the park, Lord. And save this Sunday, Lord, right in the park, Lord, as well, Lord. Grab us as we come to your service, Lord, and may everything in the service be right and proper in this due course, Lord. And Lord, may it be accepted in your sight, Lord, and honourable and pleasing unto you and your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Just so right in the park, Lord. Grab the refusers of the tracks throughout the weeks, Lord, and the Clooney area and the Bond Street area, Lord. Just so right in the park, Lord. We have Dr. Sharon, thank you to us in time, Lord. Keep him safe and all those who are in trouble. And keep him well, Lord. Thank you for the temporary job show as well, Lord. I hope we've called where it is. Let's set a potential upon, Lord. And bring him back, Lord, and if it be possible, Lord. And keep him safe and well, Lord. See us even John back in part, Lord. Also, if we have Stephen Pat, give Steve some strength, Lord. Some energy, Lord. Help him in the part, Lord. Give him patience and grace as well, Lord. Pat as well, give her respite, give her patience, and Lord, help her mighty part as well, Lord. Give us each and every that's represented in each and every family that's represented in this house tonight or today, Lord. And Lord, we also remember Israel, Lord, protect her, keep her safe and well, Lord. Mighty part from the Lord, that you would gain your people, Lord. Save mighty part from the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Mighty protection might be seen in Israel, Lord.
Our
Lord,
see souls finding part like that. I want to try to work this again. Amen. Let's begin with the wee black book this morning. If you'd like to take and turn to number 4. Number 4 in the wee black book is Holy, Holy, Holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, earth.
that we didn't have that in the book whenever I first started singing out of this book. But speaking out of this other book, 211, we'll stand if you're able, and we will sing Whosoever Meaneth Me. As soon as I put my glasses in, I can actually read the writing on. Give me 2 seconds. Neil, this is to give Neil a chuckle up in heaven. All the times I give him a stick about having to bring extra glasses. 211 is Whosoever Meaneth Me. Hey.
Deuteronomy chapter 30. That's good if the Old Testament. Very apt. And well chosen by God. And it shall come to pass when all these things have come upon thee, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of them be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. The Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thy enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy father. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and the statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if they turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. For the commandments which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not heaven, that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven, and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, and thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgment, thou mayest live and multiply. The Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess. For in thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Amen.
Before we get into our announcements proper, I do have another little Bible reading that I would like to share with you, given everything that is going on in the news. First one is from Jeremiah 31, verse number 7. It says, for thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. And these are the words of the Lord. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither, and they shall come with weeping and with supplications, will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of water in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. And I have one more that I would like to read from the book of Zechariah, Zechariah 12. And this is more up to date. In other words, the first verses there were to let you know that it was God that put Israel back on the map again. And these verses are to tell us that God will keep Israel. So, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Verse number 6 says, in that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. I would just like to say that the whole Bible hangs on what happens over the next few days and weeks and months. The Lord said the only difficult time Israel was ever going to have again was whenever the Antichrist raises himself up. And at that point, the Bible commands the Jews to run for the hills. But up until then, yes, Jerusalem and Israel will have difficult times, but the Bible says they will never lose. So if they lose, everything that we believe is vain, all the promises of God mean nothing. So please bear that in mind whenever you see Israel victorious in all of the things that are happening. There are a lot of people that have given their lives over the years so that Jerusalem and Israel could be in their places, not just Jewish people, but also British and Americans, and people from all across the world. If God can even be found to have failed on one of his promises, he is not the holy, holy, holy God, the blessed Trinity that we were singing about. So by all means, watch the TV, keep an eye on Israel, and see her went. Then put your faith in the God that promised this and wrote it down, and go on and do what he asks you to do. That's my Bible bit. This is my announcements bit. Hope that made sense to you. I don't know what colour that is. Is that a light green or a grey? Colours like that, I'm a bit colourblind, grey, blue and black, but it's a light something or other. Please make sure you get one. Does anybody have anything that they would like to add to this morning? Will has asked for prayer for work at the moment, so please do remember that. And he has also offered up thanks for a work colleague by the name of Alan Rice, who had cancer, and through all of his treatments he has been cleared of that and is back to work. It's always good to hear good news. Anything else? Yes, Mr. Bradford.
Jim Jackson, please.
Jim Jackson is there somewhere.
He's under salvation and hospital.
There you go. Salvation and Hospital. Inside page at the bottom left. Jim Jackson. Please pray for Jim Jackson. An old friend of my dad's took a stroke after having another ill health episode, and he's in hospital right now, but unfortunately not looking like much chance of recovery, so please do pray for him to be saved, if you would. Don't forget Frank and Dr. Shine. Please pray for Colin. I haven't heard from him in a week or two. Please remember John as well. John McMahon, not John McGovern. It's getting very difficult. You all literally sat in a line there. Normally John that sits sits at the back of a Sunday evening and a Wednesday evening. Please pray for him and his family. And please do pray for Pat and Steve as well. Anybody got any private prayer requests? Keep your hands up there a second. The Lord knows what those are. Thank you very much. We will pray for those. Anybody got any other things?
They don't want to get answered.
Yep, same trip to China. And do we put peace and quiet for them as well? That's good. I think that's about that, folks. Right, we'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing another song or two. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Father, that we still have the freedom to come out and worship and praise you, to read your word, and to speak about the things that a lot of people don't want to speak about or are afraid to speak about. But we pray, Lord, please, for a private prayer request. We thank you, Lord, for answered prayer requests. And pray you, Father, please, that you would continue to fight those battles in the hearts and minds of souls that oppose us or even help us, Lord. And that, like you did so many times for the children of Israel, Lord, when we turn up, the battle has been fought and won. And, Father, I would pray that for our private prayer requests and for our daily prayer requests and our daily needs. Please, Lord, I pray you be with absent brethren, Dr. Shine and Frank as they travel, for young Colin wherever he is, for Christine and Mary Ann, for John, for Pat and Steve, for Catherine. Lord, we're just glad to see everybody here. And I pray you, Lord, please, for your good hand upon each one of us. You know what our private prayer requests are, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would work with them. And even if it's ourselves, it needs to be an answer to our own prayers. But Lord, we pray for your will to be done. We do indeed pray for Israel, that you would continue to oppose those, Lord, that oppose her and her people. And that you would bless those that bless you and your people, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for making good on every single promise of your word. And we know that you will. You have done in the past, and greater things than this were taking place in the past, and you made good on those promises too. Pray, Lord, for a very special blessing upon the Israel and the soldiers that are there, that you would preserve lives, and that you would give them tactical victory after tactical victory, that you would enable them to protect the people, Lord, even in the midst of this war. Please, Lord, I pray. Let it be great and victorious and miraculous, and let the world stand in awe, Lord, of what you can do with people that are prepared to follow. Please bless this time, Lord, in your presence. I pray even now that you would use these things happening in Israel to speak to the hearts and minds of saved and lost alike, reinforcing the faith, Lord, of those that are saved, and drawing those, Lord, that are on the fence to the foot of the cross, and into your and into heaven. We love you and thank you. And we ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to the Wee Black Hymn Books again. The Wee Black Hymn Books for number 10. Number 10 in the Black Hymn Books is Thine Be the Glory. And we'll remain seated for this.
And as is our victory,
turn over a page or two to number 31. Number 31 is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." If you're able, we'll stand as we sing this, then we'll have a rest for 15 or 20 minutes. And whilst we are reading study our Bibles. "King of Love, My Shepherd Is." That's so long. Opportunity to deliver gospel tracts to down in Rolston Avenue and Bond Street. Is that right, Will?
Yes.
I keep getting Bond Street and Irish Street mixed up. I don't know why, but there you go. Irish Street is up by Altmagelvin. Bond Street is down by the Limavady Road. I'll get there eventually. I've only been here. Come here, Greg. I've only been here like 35 years. I'll get it right eventually. But we had a good morning. The weather wasn't so salubrious, if that's the right word. But despite the rain and the God of this world working against us, we managed to get that all done. So we're moving on to somewhere else next week, and look forward to that. Amen. We're in John chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. Let's see what the word of the Lord has for us this morning. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is enough for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Amen. Enough and more for everyone. We are obviously going to be speaking mostly about the miracle of the 5 loaves and the few fishes and the feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting women and children, obviously. But amen. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll continue. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity and the freedom to open your word and preach the full counsel of it. Please bless this time around your word. Please be one of our number. And we hold you to your promise, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would teach us all things and help us to remember all things. And we pray for that promise now. Please continue to be with Israel. Please be with, Lord, all of your people around the world. Please, Lord, I pray you, grant our prayer requests for Israel's victory and for the safety of all the people. Please be one of our number. Don't, Lord, be done with us. Please be with our brothers and sisters wherever they are. And please give us each, Lord, our daily bread. Leave these things at your feet, Father, and pray for your leadership and guidance as we spend this time in your word. Amen. Amen. I know this is a familiar account, and just about every time I'm working through the Gospels, I come across it so many times that I have to speak on it at least once. First of all, I want for you to understand the feeding of the 5,000 was a reminder to the children of Israel of what God had done in the wilderness, feeding hundreds of thousands of the children of Israel for 40 years as they wandered through the desert. So this was Jesus saying, I am the God that fed you in the desert. need to remember that as we go with the bread that cometh down from heaven. But I also want for you to see that before this happened, the people weren't there to hear the gospel. They were there because of all of the miracles that he had done. It says so in verse number 2. And whenever you read these things and you wonder, how could John possibly know what was going on in the minds of the people? Bear in mind, Jesus probably told him, he said, look, I knew all of these people were here because of the miracles. And as he spends the time with his disciples in the wilderness, a bunch of folks turn up as well. They always did. People followed Jesus. Some of them followed him because they loved him. Some of them followed him because they were maybe looking for something new and exciting to talk about. We were speaking, Will and I, about the wee woman that came out giving off about getting the gospel tracts, and probably thought that's the most excitement she's going to have all day. Some people are like that. They just want to hear some new thing. But as it draws on, the Lord says to Philip, surely we need to give these folks a bite to eat. If they were in Northern Ireland, they'd probably have been drowned in tea and scones about now. But this was in Israel, so it was bread was the staple. And Philip makes the observation that so many people don't. He says, we don't have the money to buy that. 200 penny worth of bread. In other words, 200 days of food would not be enough to feed all of these people. And in a way, that's like Philip saying, whatever we can do in this world is not enough to satisfy us. So bear that in mind. However, Simon Peter's brother, says, there's a wee fellow over here with his packed lunch. But what is that amongst so many? And the Lord says, right, now, with somewhere to start. He says, have everybody sit down. And he blesses the food. And he distributes it to his disciples. And the disciples give it to the men. And the people eat. And then they eat some more. And you have to bear in mind, you're not talking about people on keto diets. You're not talking about people on low-carb diets. And you're not talking about vegans or vegetarians or, is it Epicureans? Is that people that only eat fish or only eat horses? I can't remember. Something like that. They ate the food that was sat in front of them because they all maybe had to work. This was a day off for them. They were all workers and people that had to work with their hands to make a living day by day. So they eat. And I am sure maybe it wasn't so as evident to the people that were eating, but it certainly was to the disciples. Oh, well, that guy, that's a big guy. And he is eating the equivalent of maybe 6 or 7 loaves and 5 or 6 fishes. It wasn't just a wee fella's packed lunch equivalent that he ate. He ate a bunch. And the word started to get around. I am sure that this was a notable miracle. And then he says, gather up all the bits and pieces. And he gathers them up. And of course, there were 12 baskets left over. If you were to read on, you read that the Lord then understand what's going through their heads, because you have to remember, Israel had a very difficult time, even to this time. And they were under the rule of the Roman Empire, after having been under the rule of the Greek Empire. And then, before that, having been under the rule of the Medo-Persian Empire, and before that, under the Babylonian Empire. They had a very colourful past. Sadly, most of it brought on by their own rejection of God, but they were used to being underneath somebody's heel. We're having a tricky time. And there are promises. Does anyone remember the promise? Is it in Isaiah? Is it Isaiah 9, where the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah, he said, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. and talks about the government being upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Even in the model prayer, we say, "For thine is the kingdom forever and ever, amen. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever, amen." In other words, we are alluding to God's promise to rule the world forever. The same promise that was revealed to Nebuchadnezzar in the dream about the rock that would destroy all man's edifices and fill the whole world. Like the judgments that come down in the book of Revelation and destroy all the things that we have set up as gods in our lives so that he can be God in our lives. They said, this guy can raise the dead. This guy can control the weather. This guy can control the animal kingdom. This guy can make people's limbs grow back. This guy can make people see and hear and speak. This guy can cast demons out of people. Let's make him king. If he can do that to Joe Public, what can he do to the Roman Empire and set us free? But we know, looking back, that Jesus didn't come to save a country. He came to save each and every person in the entire world. So he sent them on. He sent them on, and he went up into the mountain to pray for a wee bit. And a little while later, it talks about all the other little boats heading back home again. And Jesus, he starts walking across the water, and he meets the boat. And we all know that story, how in the middle of a storm they thought it was a bogeyman or a ghost, because, let's be honest, fishermen are very superstitious. And it doesn't mention Peter walking on the water here, but the Bible records in one of the other Gospels that Peter, he went to him on the water. And everything was hunky-dory as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord. Even though he's in the middle of the Lord's work, you still need to keep your eyes on the Lord. As soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, he started to sink. And of course, he called out to the Lord, and the Lord saved him. Lots of things happening here. If we read on into the rest of this chapter, and it is fairly substantial, it is worth reading because there's a lot of red in my Bible. That means there's a lot of the quoted words of Jesus. We read that the Lord refers to himself as the living bread come down from heaven. Just want you to bear that in mind. And think on that as we read on and study this. Now, I know, whenever we come to reading about the feeding of the 5,000, a lot of people think, well, that's somebody giving a little to God and God blessing it and turning it into a lot. And God can do that. Doesn't mean God's going to do that, but God can do that. But if we were to look at the other instance where God feeds thousands of people, 4,000 men, not counting women and children, does anyone remember how many baskets they lifted that day? There were 7 baskets lifted that day. And the only place where 7 and 12 comes up from that day to this is the 7 days in a week and the 12 months in a year. So if we're looking at it again when the Lord's work was done, feeding those that were there at this particular time, there was enough left in parabolic terms to feed everyone for every month of the year and every day of the week. Now, it might not be the gospel, but that's the only 12s and 7s that there are in the Bible and in the world. We read the rest of the chapter and switch in the Lord Jesus Christ for that bread. We see that just a few of the simple promises, like bread and fish, are just simple food staples. Foundational to Christianity, how you could sit and read and understand them, maybe not memorize the verses over the period of an hour or lunchtime. But those promises and those doctrines will be there for you every day of the week, every month of the year, for the rest of your life. For instance, the Bible says, anybody ever asks you, how do you become a Christian? How do you make sure of heaven? You repent of your sins. You trust in Christ and him alone as your Savior. That's it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's it. It doesn't matter if you're Protestant, Catholic, black or white, Muslim, Mormon, Scientologist. Doesn't matter if you're an atheist, a Buddhist. Doesn't matter if you're a communist or a capitalist. It just matters that you understand you need to be saved and trust Christ as your Savior. Lord, please save me. That's it. That's a good one to know. And you might not take advantage of it for many a year. I'm sure I heard the gospel many times. I didn't get saved till I was 23. But one day, I remembered that and a whole bunch of the other things, mostly my sins. And I thought, there's nothing else and nobody else is helping me in this world years later. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to take a step of faith and trust him. And guess what? That little morsel of bread saved me years later. John chapter 3 is probably one of the best simple, straightforward examples of that when the Lord spoke to Nicodemus and said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And don't look at me all surprised with your mouth open. You must be born again or you'll not even see the kingdom of heaven. These are simple things. Can be discussed in a moment. But they will keep you for the days of the week that you have ahead and the months of all the years that you have ahead in your life. Did you know? I think there are maybe one or two prayers of a lost soul that the Lord hears. I think one of them might be, Lord, are you really there? And the other one is, Lord, would you save me? I think those are the two prayers of a lost man that God hears. As far as a saved person goes, in Philippians chapter 4, the Lord said, talk to me about everything. All the things that bother you, worry you, all of your wants, all of your dreams, your ambitions, talk to me about them all. You might find if you can't talk to God about some of them, you should just put those on the seat and hit the eject button. But we are welcomed as loved children into the holiest of holies, God's presence in prayer now, but face to face when we see him in heaven. That's a promise to you in Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible also says that we're saved unto the day of redemption by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when God looks at us after we're saved at any time, he sees the Holy Spirit there and he goes, hey, he's mine. He's mine. She's mine, she's mine. That's what God says. We're saved. Even better than that, in John 10, it says, Jesus said, I'll keep you in the palm of my hand. If I was to take a pound coin and put it in the palm of my hand, you might think, well, it's yours, it's in the palm of your hand, but it doesn't look really secure if someone just hit your hand. Did you ever do the taking the money out of somebody's hand? And they always said, see if you can get it before close your hand. And everybody used to try, but most time the best thing to do was to hit their fingers and the coin would spring up out of their hand and you would get the money. But God doesn't leave that to chance. He says, not only do I keep you in the palm of my hand, Jesus said, my Father, which is greater than all, he keeps you in the palm of his hand. And then if you look inside, you're saved on the inside. That's good to know. I didn't even know that, and I had been saved for like 7 or 8 years, and it changed my life completely. That's called full and complete assurance, confidence that you're going to heaven. The Bible also says you should be in church. That's in Hebrews 13. It also says, the one that most people don't like, you should put money in the plate, tithing. It's in Malachi 3, we read that not very long ago, but it's also in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. The Bible says to praise the Lord, make a joyful noise, it's good to hear people sing. Best verses for that is the last couple of chapters of Psalms, where it talks about lifting up your voice and making a joyful noise. It doesn't say you have to sing in tune, don't worry about that. Make a joyful noise. Does anybody here remember Fleetwood Mac? I remember that with really old pop groups. Or Kate Bush. you're going back. You're going back more than 10 years there. I think that might be like 45, 50 years, maybe even 60 years for Fleetwood Mac. I remember I used to sing those songs. I literally used to know all the words off by heart, and I loved singing those old songs, especially if they were playing on the record player. Why would we not want to sing? Even if we sing out of tune, even if we're like the frog chorus and we croak, why would we not want to make a joyful noise? Even if it's just saying, Jesus saved me and I'm going to heaven. It doesn't get better than this. Everything else is gravy. My goodness. The Bible also says, when you're saved, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and him that polluteth it, God will destroy. How's about that? Not many people know that. You shouldn't be drinking. You shouldn't do drugs. Except life preserve from drugs, obviously. Don't engage in casual physical relationship. The Bible says not to do those things. It's not difficult. Can anybody name any of the things that we've just talked about? Salvation, assurance, look after yourself, support the church, thank the Lord. Those are straightforward things. You've also got things in there where God says, even on your worst day, you're still going to heaven. The Bible promises that God would send the angels to minister to you whenever you're at your lowest ebb. He will, quite literally, put an arm underneath you. Instead of comforting you with an arm around you, he'll put an arm underneath you and support you. He promised overcoming power. Again, one of the verses that used to hang in men's toilets has become one of my favorite verses, where it says, they that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah 40 and 31, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. In other words, a lot of things are not going to get in your way anymore. They shall walk and not be weary, and run and not faint, or the other way around. But there's a good promise from God there. It even says, as a Christian, if you feel a bit battered and blown from pillar to post, if you want a bit of power, a bit of a body to affect your own life, get into the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1, Paul said, this man that used to fearfully persecute and put Christians to death, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The psalmist David said 1,000 years previous to that, if you put God's word in your heart, you'll find it more difficult to sin against God. It'll keep you. There are many other promises. There are promises for the preacher. There are promises for the father and the mother. There are promises for the children. There are helps. There are promises directly from God to you. And we could read over them if we had just time to read through them one after the other. We could read them and you would hear them in such a manner as that if you heard it again, you'd say, I remember the pastor talking about that. Anyone could become familiar with them in an hour or two. Or what is it they give for lunch now? I thought I was going to die whenever they told me in Desmond's I was only getting 45 minutes for lunch instead of a lunch hour. And then I was talking to a friend of mine who told me he only gets 30 minutes for his lunch hour. What way do they work in Europe? Lunch is a thing. Especially when you're on holiday or a big tea. It's a thing. You don't just eat it in 15 minutes and get in and get onto the internet and go surfing. People talk to each other and ask each other questions. Anyone could be familiar with those things after an hour or two of talking about them. And the time that it would take for a picnic meal. But whenever you have those, you don't have them just for the meal. These bits of bread of life that cometh down from heaven. You have them for every day of the week and every month of the year. You have them on a church day. You do. In fact, if you're here, you're going to get an awful lot of them on a church day. You have them on a working day. Whenever you're your mind is focused in on doing whatever duties and chores you have to do, you still have them in the back of your mind, helping you whenever you're thinking, am I really doing this job again? Well, yes, it helps me to pay my bills and eat and wear clothes and all that good stuff. You have them on holidays, whenever you go shopping. You have them whenever you're working with your kids, your friends, or your spouse. You have them in celebrations. You have them when you're down in the dumps. You have them when you're winning on the top of the mountains. And you have them whenever you're losing. You have them at Christmas. Yep, Pancake Tuesday. I'm going to run out of holy days in about 2 minutes. You have them on Christmas, Pancake Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, Lent, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. They're all there for those days. Those are the days when we expect to hear them. But there's like another 300 days in the year that are not in quote holy days. Big church days that people will turn up once or twice a year for. You have them for your Saturday. You have them for your Sunday. You have them in the cool months. You have them in the coming back to life months, the warm months, and then the freezing cold months. You have them at weddings and funerals. You have them just whenever you need them. Even whenever you're sitting, putting your head back and saying, nothing more than, Lord, I don't have anything to tell you today, Lord. I just want to spend some time with you in your presence. All of those things will help you. Those words of God are the very things that empower, and strengthen and comfort the Christian. And we need all of the gospel all of the year. I know there are places that will only speak about the birth of Jesus Christ around Christmas time, and they will only speak about the up and coming death of Christ around about Easter time. I think I got saved around about April, about 35 years ago. Goodness gracious me, that's frightening. Somebody that is coming to Christ, understanding maybe that what he's done for them in the winter, will need to hear about the great sacrifice that's normally only spoken about at Easter time. We need it all. And we need it always. And unlike a McDonald's, well, unless you have an awful lot of them, it'll satisfy you. What did the Bible say there? And Jesus took the loaves, and the disciples passed to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, and they were full up, and couldn't eat any more. That is what the bread of life will do for you. You'll still get hungry, and you'll still want your McDonald's, or your chicken, or your steak, or fish, or your fresh breads, or whatever it is that you really, really like, and what your body really, really needs. You'll still need that. But deep down in your heart, there'll not be the emptiness, the only thing I can call is like a sucking chest wound of the lack of the Holy Spirit where it should be. If any of us could go back in time and speak to Adam, we would give him a good shake before he sat down at that salad. I'd say, you are set to cause a whole lot of bother in this world. Think twice before you change your diet. The Lord satisfies. He saves to the uttermost. He takes all of your sins and puts them in that bag and seals it and throws them over his corner, over his shoulder into the sea of forgetfulness. He gives us a purpose that's greater than the greatest purpose that there is in this world. His purpose, seeking and saving that which was lost. Fighting the good fight. Being God's lips and hands and feet in this world. That is the purpose. It was good enough for God. It certainly is good enough for any of us. Then as we read on, Where are we? To verse number 15. I'm going to close with verse number 15. Verse number 15 says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him king, he departed into a mountain place himself alone." That's what we ought to do. We ought to make a point of making Jesus king in our lives. Every day. It's not a one and done. It's not like salvation. Life is a struggle even after you get saved, but at least you have God on your side. We ought to make Jesus the driving force in our lives and make him king. Doing things his way. A lot of people find that very hard to do, even for myself. It can be difficult. But you've got to understand this one thing. My God, the God of the King James Bible, he knows what's coming tomorrow. He knows what's coming whenever we drive out of that main road, even as simply as a car coming round the corner. God knows what's happening. Not just today, but right until the end of time, until we see him face to face. God knows everything about everyone. And he loves us enough to point us in the right direction when those decisions come our way. But we should find, I have found over the years, that his way and his word is enough and more than enough for me for every day of every year of the rest of my life. And I would say, trust him. Trust him. I'm also going to say, that's us. Thank you very much for your good time and attention this morning. God bless you. We're going to sing hymn number 55 in the big hymn book, if you'd like to take it. And turn there. If anybody has any questions about the message, if you want a copy of the notes, I have a copy here. If there's more than one person wants them, I'll print off them and print them off and get them to you as soon as. But don't be afraid to ask. I had an old math teacher, and he was as grumpy as all get out. And he really surprised me and opened my eyes when he told us one day, "I'm your math teacher. If you have a problem with mathematics, come and ask me. I'm the minister. If you have a problem with anything in the Bible, come and ask me. If I don't have the answer for you, I know a man who does." 55, let's stand, and we will sing, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there."
Save my mind.
talk to God about anything, don't be afraid to do that. It takes a weight off of you. God bless you and safe travels home. Look forward to seeing you soon. Let's bow our heads. Well, would you dismiss us, if you would, brother, a wee word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for bringing us into your house today, Lord. Let's lay up the message that Mark taught in the scriptures to our hearts, Lord. We may reach out to people who are lost, Lord, friends or family, workplace associates, and people on the street, Lord. See us those mighty in heart, Lord. And may the great name be praised throughout this city and throughout the earth as well, Lord. Give the church services, wherever they may be in the world, have finished, Lord. Use the Spirit to convict those who are lost, wherever they may be, and wherever the church services that yet to happen in the States or around the world, Lord. Use the opportunity and the Holy Spirit to convict those who are lost as well, Lord, and save their souls by their power for the Lord. Give Israel this difficult time, Lord. Protect her, keep her safe and well, Lord. And save the Jews, Lord. Mm-hmm. Keep safe and well, Lord. Give us, as we go to our homes, to depart to our homes in safety, Lord. Bless our lunch and give us and keep us, Lord. And may you draw us out to church at the point of time. For the honor of our God, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, well, folks. God bless you. We are dismissed. Shake hands and fellowship for a wee bit. Thank you.